It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. What's up, guys? How's everybody doing tonight? Welcome to episode number 203 of Hobby Hotline. It is Tuesday night, November 29th, 2022. And my name is Chris Harris, aka Stale Gum. This is the first time I'm engineering this, so maybe this might be the last time. Gentlemen, I got three Philly guys. Introduce yourself.
Well, my name's Tony, part half of the Cousins Collectibles podcast, and let's get it.
Yes, sir. Cousin Oz, the people's mailman, the other half of Cousins Collectibles. So this is pretty cool, Tony. It's the first time that with Hobby Hotline that they actually have us together. So I think that's pretty cool. And then we got our man up here with the Philly connection. So we're going to have fun. Was that U.S. soccer?
USA. How about
big news?
That?
Big news today, baby.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm going to post the link. There you see it in the chat. I'd appreciate a good call or two.
Jump on in.
So jump on in. You got Philly guys here talking about cards. So if you want to come at us for being Philly guys,
Mr. Brad Bethune, if you're in the house, if you're in the building, I definitely want to hear from you.
Let's start off first with the continuing debacle that is Topps Chrome Baseball this year. So let's kind of recap where we're at here now, because Topps Chrome is usually a product that comes out, you know, late July, early August, summertime-ish. But we had to wait until September for this year's Chrome, the end of the season, basically. And the product that we got, we still had players depicted in the uniforms they played on last year in this year's Chrome. So if you wanted a Chris Bryant card, guess what? He's still a Giant. Mm-hmm. You want a Kyle Schwarber, Philly guy? Guess what? He's still a Red Sox. And they even still had like Buster Posey in the set and Ryan Zimmerman. And these are two guys that are retired. I mean, if you're going to wait until September to release this set, why aren't you getting the team's guys in their proper uniform?
Now, was it a logistics problem did they wait on purpose?
The rumor and innuendo that I've heard is that they actually printed the bulk of the base set in like April, May-ish, but waited until September to release it. I don't quite understand that. But by waiting until September, they were able to add five additional rookies to the set, five high-numbered rookies. And these were the five rookies that I think everybody was chasing after. You had Julio, let me get the checklist here. I should know this. Bobby Witt Jr., Hunter Green, Spencer Torkelson, CJ Abram. But then product was released and they forgot to include those five high number rookies. Yeah.
Oops.
Whoops. And I actually documented this on my Twitter account the weekend that it was announced that Topps forgot to include these rookies. The price of a box of Chrome went from like $300 to like $180 overnight.
Wow.
So then they try and make amends with this silver pack program, right? We're going to dish out these packs that actually may have these cards, but then they short printed them to a certain point where you probably need to buy like 20 boxes to get 20 packs just to get one of them. How are you supposed to collect that set? Now, I don't mind. Now, I get it. I don't mind short prints in a product, but 20 to 25 silver packs for one of these cards? Isn't that kind of ridiculous?
It sure ramps up the rarity.
Yeah, but how are you supposed to collect it, though? That's the thing.
With a lot of money.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, now, if you've been been walking past the card aisle in a Walmart lately, or if you've been to a local hobby shop, you'll notice that Topps Chrome isn't exactly selling well here for a variety of reasons that we just discussed. So now Topps has come up with a wonderful idea, a great idea that is going to get you to buy Topps Chrome this year, bribing you by giving you $20 for each Aaron Judge and Paul Goldschmidt card. $40 for a refractor, $100 for a numbered refractor, and $200 for a low numbered refractor. Not cash, but store credit. So you can basically, you can buy Panini stuff with it. I don't know why you'd want to, but... Has it come to this, though? I mean, if you're Topps, don't you just want to just take the L here and move on? Do you really have to resort to something like this in order to push your product? What do you guys think?
Yeah. I mean, I hear you. I guess the glass half full, though, is that it's a way to take virtually useless cards and at least turn them into something or somebody. I actually see it more like it drives traffic into the LCS. So at least that guy who's sitting on all that Topps Chrome on his shelves, I don't know, somebody comes in and, you know, redeems and gets their credit and buys something else, and maybe it just leads to future buys. So, I mean, it's a Band-Aid approach. And I mean, and again, it's a pretty neat promotion if you think about it, because at least they're trying something. But it's not like I don't think people are going to go buy boxes of Chrome just to chase the base card. Like that, if they're thinking that's going to happen, I don't see that at all. It's just probably going to be used for other things. So,
I mean, basically, I think they're trying to do this because they were just, you know, bought out by Fanatics. So they kind of got to save face. If they're going to, you know, basically have Fanatics coming out and doing all these things with Topps, they have to make up for this and make an amends. I think this is a perfect way to do it, because what else are they going to do? You could say they could take the L, but then that looks bad on Fanatics too. So somehow, some way, they got to figure this out. And like Tony said, this is really a good way for people to go ahead and get back into the LCS. You know, is it the best thing? Is it the greatest idea ever? No, but it's something.
This promotion also includes the Goldschmidt and Judge cards from the Topps Chrome logo fractor product that was hot a couple of weeks ago. It doesn't include Cosmic Chrome, but it also includes the 2022 Topps Chrome Sonic Edition, which comes out in February. And I think we can all agree, we need more, yet another Topps Chrome product.
I was about to say, I'm like, geez, another one?
Yeah. Sonic Chrome. This product, this promotion actually continues all the way to the end of March. So you don't have to rush in right now. DR has an interesting comment in the chat. What will be the Beckett price on these cards in the next edition? Well, $20. Right. What about the promotion expires? And I'm kind of thinking, if you're a Topps Chrome set collector and you've already built your set out, do you break that set up, get your $40, and then maybe hope to buy those cards back in April or March or April or May?
Yeah, it's not a bad way to look at it.
What exactly is Topps going to be doing with all these cards anyway?
That's the key question. Like, okay, they're buying all these cards back now. What exactly do you guys have planned for that? You know, I know it's gonna, like we said, have traffic coming into the LCSs and build that momentum, and, you know, with Fanatics being involved and all that, but I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, do you have any idea what they're planning to do with these? Are they going to do some special promotion with those?
There was a vague statement on a Topps website that says that they're going to gather up all these cards and they have something planned. And I kind of have a feeling that you're going to be seeing these again as a buyback, stamped buyback in a future Topps Chrome product. That's my guess.
Or they'll package them with whoever loses the Super Bowl t-shirts and all that stuff.
Yeah, send them off to Honduras or something.
So, you know, there's going to be a kid somewhere that has 50 Aaron Judge cards. So good for him.
Yeah. but looking at the chat, they're short printing those cards with stamps. Yeah, that's right. But what are they going to do with those short printed cards with stamps? Are they going to sell them on Topps.com? Or are they going to insert them in a product? I don't know. It's And I get it. As much as I slag on Tops, you know, they're making a best of a bad situation.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of it's self-inflicted too. So.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, all the, you know, between the logistics and then, you know, they go out of their way. They realize they screwed up. Okay, let's wait. You go ahead and add those five rookies. Then you forget to do that. And now it's like trying to, you know.
And not only that, they really made a lot of this product this year.
Yeah, that too. Yeah.
And I kind of think that they were making this for like a 2020-2021 hobby when the hobby was hot, and now it's not so much. So
yeah. What happens when a card gets handed in and it's all beat up? Does it
they still get it. So wow. If you got a beat up or off center card, cash in.
Yeah.
So let's move on to another topic. Last couple of weekends, I've been at two different card shows. Last Sunday, I was at the monthly card show here in Delaware. It's at a fire hall, about 35, 40 tables. But the weekend before that, I was up in Secaucus, New Jersey for the Garden State Collectors Show or something like that. It was at the fabulous La Quinta Inn in Secaucus.
Yeah.
It was a pretty impressive show. It was about 150 tables, but there was one thing that I did not see at either one of those shows, and that was Formula One card. What the heck happened to Formula One? You cannot give these cards away, it seems.
So when does the buyback program for that start?
Yeah, seriously.
Because
right in time for 2022 Topps Formula One, which I think comes out this week or next week. But what happened to F1 though? Oh, it was like the hottest thing in the hobby, or one of the hottest things in the hobby just last year. Have we just forgotten about it? Have we just moved on?
You know, with F1, I really believe, you know, we always talk about the classic pump and dump. Everything came about with this show. It was on Netflix, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Was it Drive to Survive or something? I forget what exactly. Yeah. I've never seen it, never watched it, never even, you know, watched the F1 race, maybe by accident. But, you know, you hear the influencers out there, the people with shows, and they were talking about the Netflix show that's out there. You got to check it out. You know, and Lewis Hamilton's like Michael Jordan of racing. And you know, so that it just all started getting hyped up, and people, it was the next big thing. You know, it's because, you know, you had your mainstays, you had your baseball, you had your basketball, football, and soccer, hockey, and then it's like, oh man, we got to find, you know, then it went into Marvel cards, started getting pumped, and then now, bang, you know, F1's the next thing. So everybody jumped on it, and it was hot. That show, everybody seemed to like it, and you know, you had Lewis Hamilton, and then you had the bad guy, Max Verstappen, but nobody could stop Lewis Hamilton.
Pronunciation right.
So I guess at the very end, it was controversy between the two, and Max ended up winning. Is that what occurred? And it was almost like once the luster, you know, once the magic of Lewis Hamilton wore off, the Michael Jordan of racing, and almost like F1 disappeared. Like Max took the lead, and his cards got hot for a while, and then everybody just, like, you know, it was season two of the show, and that's it. I mean, I haven't really heard anything or seen anything since that occurred.
Is it because Lewis Hamilton and Mercedes just had a bad year with this new car in 2022?
I think if he would have won, you know, beat Max.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
At the end of the last year and came into this year, and they would have been going at it, I think there would have been a lot more interest. You know, it's kind of like when the GOAT gets beat. I don't know. It like I said, I maybe Tony, you have another take on it, but you know, we're not really F1 fans. So, but from my perspective, it's almost like I said, the luster kind of came off of it. It's like, okay, this guy was what, I don't know, 7-time, 8-time, or however many time champion, and he got beat. And then Max, there was some fans of Max, but a lot of people didn't like him. They thought he was a jerk, and it kind of just like,
yeah, somebody, it for me, it's I think it was DR mentioned in the chat. That's where F1 for me was the NFT of the hobby.
Mm-hmm.
Just here's the hot thing and it's shiny and this is cool and it's just going to disappear. And it did, because let's be honest, man, it's not an American sport. We don't care, despite what all, you know, I know they have some races here. And I think that's just more of like a little place for celebrities to be seen and things like that. We don't care. So we're not going to collect that stuff. And it was the classic pump and dump, man. Like, it's just the fact that you don't hear a peep about it, other than maybe one or two still bigger accounts in the hobby you'll see online posting about it. But it was definitely the flavor of the week. I don't see it coming back. Nobody cares. You can't even see the drivers. You can't see their, you know, personality or anything like that. They just all look the same on the racetrack. So you can't even differentiate, other than, you know, if you know who's who. But there's just no, this is, to me, it's just
the average collector just can't, we don't have the money to go to an F1 race. You know what I mean? Like, that's a real bougie type event. You got to have loot. You got to be able to spend thousands of dollars just to travel to these places. I know they had one in Miami, and you know, the average guy is not going to these events. So you may be able to watch it on TV, but like you said, unless you're a diehard from day one, which there are out there, I've heard of people that are that way, that, you know, there's always somebody that's into something. But for the most part, it was just the next big thing that everybody jumped on, trying to get on it early, make their money, and on to the next.
Yep.
Yeah, I think I read that the tickets for the race in Las Vegas next year start at $3,000 for the weekend. So,
come on.
But they're all going to be bought up by the casinos.
Yeah.
Sure. You know how that works.
Yeah.
I will give, you know, Liberty Media bought Formula One about 6 or 7 years ago. And when they bought Formula One, F1 was pretty much dead in this country, especially after what happened in 2005 in Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. Y'all can look that up. It was a debacle. It basically killed F1 in this country for a decade. But they've done a pretty good job marketing this sport in this country. But at the end of the day, you know, you look at the product and compared to like IndyCar, which is awesome, dare I say it, it's just not an entertaining sport to watch. And I like soccer. So if I can watch soccer and be entertained by that and not be entertained by F1, bit of a problem. So
yeah. Yeah. It's definitely not, like I said, it's not an, and they, kudos to them. They definitely have done a great job marketing it, and kids seem to like it online, like younger, you know, kids in their 20s. But again, $3,000 just to get into the show. It's like, nah, man, it's.
Yeah. I mean, I'm assuming that the Netflix special, I've never watched it, but you know, that probably had the drama, had everything going for it. So it wasn't just the racing. You got to see the behind the scenes and what the guys were doing with their teams and the cars, you know, so you got in depth with everything, and people probably just got hooked on it. It's like any reality show that's out there. So that, I think that kind of, when it came out, it caught a lot of people, and you know, you had the influencers out there just pumping, and then everybody FOMO, you know, if you're missing out. Nobody got these boxes, only the certain few that got in early got these boxes, and then the prices of these boxes just went to the moon. You know, those singles and cards, especially the Lewis Hamiltons and the Maxes, I mean, the prices were insane.
Even the guys that were like the next tier down, they were just crazy prices. So they, and I looked it up before, I mean, most of them were down 50, and like a lot of cards are down, but these guys are 50%, 60%, 70%. So it's I don't see that coming back. I don't think you'll see a lot of F1 pumping going on for a long time. So
if an American driver somehow makes it though in the next couple of years, do you think that
I mean something? I maybe a little bit, but again, I just don't see the long-term collectability of it all, because it's just, you're just as good as the next guy that comes up. So unless somebody does something really crazy where they're winning, you know, 4, 5, 6 titles in a row, but other than that, I
mean, especially with the fall off, if like Lewis Hamilton was the GOAT, and then the very, you know, he loses the championship, and then the very next season he's just gone because of his car. They didn't catch up with, you know, with what Red Bull is doing and Max's team. It's like, how can you just like, then okay, the guy from USA, he's doing real well, but then the next year his car's crap, so then, you know, you're in the wind. To just follow that and get into it, it takes a lot, and you got to really be dedicated, and I just don't see us as Americans, we have way too much going on to be concerned with F1. I could be wrong.
All right, let's move on. Yesterday, tickets for the NSCC went on sale. Who's going? I am. I'm getting my, I bought my super VIP, super elite ticket. It's back at the Stevens Center in Chicago, where everyone seems to agree it's the best place to have it. Have you guys, I know you guys were in Atlantic City, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Year. You ever been out to Chicago?
We have not, and I'm hearing it's the Disney World of the hobby, so I'm expecting flowers and rose petals all over the floor and magic.
You'll be lucky if you find a carpeted space on that floor.
Oh boy. we're definitely looking forward to it. I haven't bought the tickets yet. I'm looking. I remember, and Oz can tell you his experience with the VIP last year, but yeah, definitely looking forward to going. We'll kind of see how it goes about.
It does appear that they did increase the price. So ordinarily a daily ticket was $25 and $22 in advance online. And this year it's going to be $30, but $25 in advance. And the super VIP and VIP packages, I think they went up by about $10 this year. So, and I think they've actually put a cap. I don't recall that they did this with the super VIP packages, but there's only 1,000 of them this year. Only 1,000, only 1,000 super VIP, super elite tickets. So I got one, so there's 900.
And you were mentioning that the autographs were increased as from last year.
Yeah, the difference between the regular VIP and the super VIP is you get more autograph tickets, but it's from the same pool of players that the regular. they're not the top autograph.
Cream of the crop.
Yeah.
All right.
But
it's not going to be a Jalen Hurts signing.
You're
for
not
going
to get Jalen Hurts. You're not going to get those guys.
No Joel Embiid.
Yeah. No, but you will get, and this is the one reason why I get the super VIP pass. And this especially works at the Stevens Center, and that's the parking ticket. Okay. Because if you've ever been to a national at the Stevens Center in Rosemont, unless you want to eat at the Stevens Center, and if you like a lot of fried foods, you'll love the concessions at the Stevens Center. Other than that, there's not really that many places to eat in that area.
Okay.
I mean, there's Gibson's Steakhouse across the street, but you can't eat Gibson's for lunch 5 days. But with the super VIP ticket and that parking pass, you could go in and out of the garage as many times as you want. So what I've done is that I stay off-site, drive in, go to the show in the morning, and then when it comes to lunchtime, I drive out and I find there's all sorts of chain restaurants in Rosemont. You have your pick. I know there's a Potbelly. I like Potbelly sandwiches. There's a halfway decent deep dish by the sliced pizza joint around. There's Taco Bell. You do that and you might save some money on food. So
gotcha.
The parking ticket pays for itself, basically.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Makes sense. Yeah, definitely makes sense. But
so super VIP equals parking ticket.
Yes.
Yeah, basically.
And super elite status.
Yes, yeah, super elite status.
And that's the important part.
For sure.
Yeah, Rich Klein says in the back of the Stevens Center, there's a cafeteria. That's all they have is chicken fingers and fries, Rich. They might have a hot dog, but it's like you're also paying stadium prices for this food. And it's not that great.
Yeah, that's wild. So, but I see Paige is calling for some halftime break cards.
Halftime break cards. I have an interesting halftime break card that I'd like to show, but I'll let you guys show your
Chris goes to Hooters.
So I guess I'll go first. So I typically collect Roberto Clemente, but I'm kind of taking a little pause on that, and my collection shifting now towards more Philadelphia Eagles, mainly the 2004 team and some Randall Cunningham stuff. But the first one I got is it's hard to get these because the guy was around for just a few games, and it's a Terrell Owens little game used patch, three colors. Let's put it up on the screen there. It's tough to see.
Hold on a sec.
There you go. So, oops. There you go.
There we go. So, I got it right.
There you go. So, say what you want about T.O. Nice. He has a soft place in my – I have a soft spot for him. So it's kind of took me a little bit to find that, but it was nice to get – at least it says it's game used on the back of the card. And the next one is a 2021 Treasured Patches added 25 Randall Cunningham three-colored game used patch. That guy right there.
Ooh.
Yeah, Randall's my guy.
Those were back in the day when the numbers were like screen.
Yeah, because you can see. Yeah, and it's dirty too, so I'm going to assume it's super game used or just somebody dropped it on the floor. And now to go to the other extreme, but this, so I'm a sucker for on card autos of Cunningham. So anytime I see him and can grab him, I pick it up. And this was a 2019 flawless number 1 out of 10. So,
nice.
Three color there. So that one's not game used, but for me, it's just about having that. Net on card auto, so
cool,
you know. But so that's what I brought today. I've got other stuff, but we'll save that for another day.
There you go.
All right, Cousin Oz, what you got?
All right, we're gonna stick with the Philly theme. I'm a 90s insert type of guy. Allen Iverson is my guy right here. This is my Allen Iverson jersey. Bang bang. So my first card, it's gonna be my 97-98 Flair Showcase Row Zero. It's out of 250. It's not the blue John, but let's see if I can
base, with the tire tread pattern.
Yeah, and that's my Beckett 9.5. So number 92 out of 250 there. I love this card. I mean, in hand, this thing is super dope. Staying with the Allen Iverson theme, this is a pristine 10 97-98 Metal Universe Titanium. I love this die cut.
I need that.
Now, this is a pop two, so there's only two of these pristine tens out there. So,
and that's on acetate, too.
Yes. Oh, I love this card. This card is, you know, you that turn it around and it's.
Oil.
Yeah, that blue, that shiny shine. The AI shiny.
Looking at it.
And then my last one is another die cut. It's the 98 Hoops Prime Twine. That's a PSA. I think there's only one 10 out there, and I think Philly Card Collector is the only other guy that has the 10, but, you know, this is probably like a pop 6 or 7. I forget what it is. So there's serial numbers in the back there. But the intricacy of this die cut, I mean, it's crazy.
Right. Yeah. Just don't make cards like that anymore.
No, man. This hoops? Yeah. Like, come on.
A base level, a sub-base level brand.
Yeah.
You get die cuts, but...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have a bonus one for you since we're talking Topps Chrome.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Before you switch. So you might as well. Here's Mr. Clemente.
There he is.
There he is. And that one's.
Chrome Anniversary.
Yeah, he's actually number 21.
Out of
21 50? Out of 50. Weeks. So when I saw the jersey number, I was like, yeah, I got to get that. And yes, 1 million Cubs project. QB Eagles was the man in Tecmo. They said QB Eagles was the shit in Tecmo. Yeah.
Was.
Yeah, he was the man.
I mean, if you couldn't get the Raiders, you were going with the Eagles.
Yeah. Bo Jackson.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. I have a card here, and this is a mystery card.
Ooh.
And I hopefully somebody in the chat, hopefully Rich Klein's listening. So I pulled this out of a dollar box maybe a couple of weeks ago. It's an Alex Rodriguez card from Topps.
Uh-huh.
Pretty plain looking, but it says one free download on the bottom.
Huh.
And on the back of it, there's a code.
Get the music.
That allows you to download an iTunes song. Unfortunately, this expired May 1st, 2007.
Oh, so, just a bit outside.
Yeah. So if anybody can help me out here, where did this card come from? Was it an insert somewhere? Did Topps just hand these out somewhere?
Hmm.
Was Apple involved with this?
Interesting.
I don't know. I've never seen this card. I just had to pick it up. It was, again, a dollar box
fine. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Interesting card.
Yeah.
So. Has a story. We just don't know it yet.
Story.
Yeah. Chris, do you spend a lot of time digging in the bargain boxes?
That's basically all I go for card really? Shows for. I'm okay. happier than a pig in... Yeah. You know what? Right. At a big dollar box.
Yeah.
So
yeah. That's something that I still don't I get impatient. I don't know. One day I'll get there.
You never know what you'll find.
Yeah, I know.
And the thing is that some of these dealers have no idea what they have. They might have bought a lot off of Craigslist, or somebody came in with a lot of cards and they find like, oh well, here's a Frank Thomas card. Let's throw that in the dollar box.
Yeah.
And it's like a case hit insert from 1999.
Right.
So you never know. That's how
Oz got that the hoops thing. He was digging through a dollar box and he's over there let's just go to the showcases. I go and I see this card. I'm like, yeah, you might want to forget about that box and come over here and look at this card. So yeah. But
yeah. Again, I'm going to post the link to the chat. So if you want to call in, ask us anything. You got three of the best minds in the hobby.
You got that right.
Ask us whatever. Sure. Now, I realize that a lot of people that watch or listen to our show are probably never going to call in. Mm-hmm. I think I read somewhere that 99% of the people who listen to talk radio never call.
I'm hoping
we get at least someone here that's going to call.
Well, I know last Tuesday it was on and popping. There was a lot of people jumping in there. They were showing off their dogs and everything. Ain't that right, Tom?
It was a happening last week. But I think I've called into sports radio one time in my life. I don't know what the heck I was thinking. I was working third shift at the time. There was nothing else to do. So besides work. But
that's one more time than I ever did.
That was it. I was like, it was whatever. But it doesn't. I mean, most of the time, the people who do call in are pretty off the wall anyways.
Yeah.
Chris, what's your main, what do you PC?
I PC mostly baseball. I'm a complete master set collector. I try to from the 90s and 2000s. So
okay, nice.
So more modern and not so much the vintage then?
Not so much vintage. I mean, I tried collecting like a 75 set, and when I completed it, it was like, is that all there is? I know 75 is a great set, but not for me. I'm a child of the 80s, right? Mm-hmm. And I really started getting into the hobby in the early 90s when inserts started to drop. And there's just something about dusting off a good, just knocking off your checklist a good insert set, anyway,
they definitely hit different
we got Howard Eskin.
The king.
All right, let's switch gears for a minute. We just talked about the NSCC. Philly show is this weekend.
Yes, sir.
You excited? Because I'm going. I just don't know when I'm going, but I'm going. I was going to go on Saturday, but then a certain soccer team won and is going to be playing Saturday morning. So
nice.
It's in a new hall. It's in Oaks.
Yep.
What do you guys think about this new hall?
Were you there last time?
I was there last time.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Tom.
As far as parking, I loved it because at the old casino, it was just, if you didn't get there, I used to just make it a point when I knew I was going, I'd get there super early just to get a space, because by midday there was no parking. So the parking situation is so much better. And you can walk around. It was a bigger space. So the last show, it seemed like the foot traffic was less, but then just like Oz is saying, but the building is bigger. So I was like, yeah, that's true. So I liked the way it was laid out. I know some of the vendors were kind of like, they didn't really like it too much, but I walked around the show, the way the autographs were off to the, in the back over there. I thought it was much more spacious. Again, if you can park, you got me. Once I can't park, I'm like, forget it.
You don't have to walk up a hill to park your car.
right. No. Yeah, that was tough. If you were in the back of that parking lot up there, by the time you got back to your car, you're like, man.
Yeah. And then the last show too, they had the combination of the toy show right next door. the RetroCon and, you know, obviously the Philly show. So we kind of like did both. I'm into toys as well. I'm a big toy collector, my cousin as well. So we hit up the toy show first. And, you know, so it was like we weren't really focused as normally we would be when we go to the Philly show. So I think this time it's going to be a little bit different. That's going to be our main focus. And we're not going to be, you know, oh, let's get back over here. Or let's try this and let's do that. Or let's go eat. So now it's just the Philly show. And like Tony said, it's a big area. So I don't know if it was just, I mean, it was because we were comparing the two. You know, we did a show on it and it was like, man, the toy show was rocking and rolling. If you looked at that line, I believe to what time, Tony, like 2-3.
Yeah,
it definitely was around the corner. And then, you know, other than the beginning of the card show, there wasn't much of a line. You could just go right in. And I know people that were looking at the toy show like, damn, what the hell? The door must have been making a killing compared to what the Philly show was doing. So it's a whole different vibe. I thought it was pretty cool. I like to see, you know, the dichotomy, the both of them, and to see what was the differences and the similarities. But yeah, I think this the Philly show, I think there's going to be, you know, let me ask you, Chris, like, do you think it's died down? Do you think the foot traffic has slowed? I think so, but it's kind of hard to tell with such a big.
Yeah, I went Friday last time and I don't know if it was just a Friday or what, but it was noticeably. The thing too is that the tables are, the aisles are a lot more spaced out.
Yeah.
Yep.
As well. So you're not running into people left and right. So mm-hmm.
Yeah. From a buyer's standpoint, like a walk in the show, I think it's great. Like, you know, before you'd be just kind of back to back with the people, you know, in at the table behind you. I mean, I don't know if it was just one of those. Let me ask you, do you think it's worth having 3 days there? Like, why can't it just be 2 days? I mean, what? I'm not sure that there's enough, especially, I mean, I know it's kind of generally always been like that, but 3 days is a bit much to, I don't know, ask people to keep coming around, but I don't
know. I think 3 days is, it's been 3 days for decades.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I mean, there's people like myself, I wouldn't be able to make it. It's still Sunday, right? So,
yeah.
There's people that just have to work and things like that. So I just think, I don't know if it's an optical illusion or not, you know, just the new vicinity there. It's just, who knows if it's the same amount of foot traffic or it's just the setup the way it is. And when you were at the other place, it just seemed like it was pumping, but then again, you know, a year or two ago, everything was rocking and rolling. Now it's kind of slowed down. So I guess we'll see if it, you know, without the toy show being there, I think there was a lot of mixing and mingling.
We actually just had a caller in the queue, but they dropped off. So if you want to call back, we'd appreciate it. But what do you think of the pricing strategy of this show? Because it's now taken over by the same management that does the Chantilly show, and it's $10 a day. But on Fridays, there's the 2-hour preview, which costs $25. $25 a little too much for Friday. For those extra 2 hours.
Yeah, that's the one that I was like, why is it $25 for on Friday? I mean, I think that's a little bit of a stretch. Maybe 15, 20, but 25, I mean, I don't know. Just you get, that's a stretch. I 15 I could understand, or maybe they just balance it off at 20. But 25 is, to me, is a bit of a stretch.
Because they started doing that at Chantilly last year, and there were a lot of complaints from dealers about foot traffic on Friday, about how the $25 was maybe scaring some people off.
Yeah, it's not like you're going to a Black Friday special. I mean, is it really an advantage to get there 2 hours early? I mean, unless you just have money to burn and you're going over there and just buying whatever, you know, oh, let me snag this up before somebody comes. I mean, when you go to a card show, you're there, you're looking, unless you have a specific thing in mind. But if you're one of those guys that sits down and goes through the dollar boxes, maybe, I guess, you'll be the first ones to get in there and get those, you know, dollar steals. I don't know.
Yeah. $25 worth, though?
$25. Yeah.
That's so much. That's a tough sell.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially, and I get it from the dealer standpoint, because they got to get there. They're there all day. And then, you know, you got 10 people in the room. It's like,
I don't think it's worth it. No.
So I mentioned that I was going to go Saturday, but now I might be going Friday, because something came up today that will affect my schedule on Saturday. And that's the U.S. soccer team. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Open
yes,
wide sir. For some soccer. USA.
Look at this guy. Oh, he got the scarf and everything.
Yeah, I think I bought this U.S. scarf at like a Gold Cup game at the Link like 15 years ago. So
nice. Sweet.
Anyway, soccer cards. I know we mentioned with F1 that this F1 and soccer have both kind of come into the hobby, right? Both started to come up at around the same time.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Do you think soccer cards are a little more resilient than F1? And do you think that this World Cup is finally going to get the Joe Sixpack sports fan who has always hated soccer vehemently, but has never actually watched it? Are they going to get these guys on board and make them fans or not?
They got this guy. I used to be that guy. I mean, I don't love watching it. Yeah, but
I signed you up for union tickets.
So, well, yeah, I have. Yeah, I almost went last year, and I'm like, I regret it not going. And this next coming season, there's no way I'm definitely going to get to a game. The environment looks insane.
It is. I've been a day one union season ticket holder.
Awesome.
I've been through a lot of bad soccer over the years. I actually flew out to the cup final in LA a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, wow.
And yeah.
Nice. Now, do you have like a soccer background? Did you coach? Did you play?
I played when I was a kid, and I was always, you know, I think 94 when the World Cup came, it was kind of a seminal moment for a lot of, that's when I really became a fan of soccer, but I couldn't really follow it because we didn't have an MLS team until 2010. And back then, you really couldn't watch soccer from Europe all that much. I mean, you might be able to get an occasional Champions League game every now and again. But now, I mean, between the Premier League on NBC and, you know, all these streaming services just pumping out soccer, you can't get away with it. I mean, and the thing, too, is that the way the English Premier League is scheduled on Saturday morning when there's no competition for American sport has just been great and great for for soccer fandom, I think. So
yeah, I hear you on that. I think it's tough for the, like you said, Joe Sixpack to kind of gravitate towards it. Like I watch it just in passing when I'm, you know, waiting for the Eagles game to start. I turn on NBC and the Premier League is on, so I watch it like that. But with the whole World Cup, okay, so it's probably going to hit a peak. So how is it going to sustain that to get people to keep watching? Where now you know it's going to be over. They're like, okay, now what? Now I got to go get.
I'm Joe Sixpack. You know, so to me, it's like, listen, what's going to get everybody hyped up is if we make a run. The only way that the U.S. it can become big like it is overseas, we have to win. We have to start getting a team that's competitive and be able to put a good product out there that people are going to be attracted to, that are going to watch. So that, you know, like you said, us winning, this is huge. You know, now we're probably, what is it, 16 teams that go on to the next round?
Yeah.
And we're probably like the last ranked team, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Close. Senegal made it to the next round, and they're
okay. So we're 15. Like
the 20s and 30s.
Okay.
And if you take the world ranking seriously, we're like 15th or 16th.
Right. You know. So again, I don't know. I'm just looking at. I looked at rankings, and I'm looking for US, and I had to go all the way down. I was like, oh, we're 16 out of 16. Okay. So but anything can happen. I guess I'm not a huge soccer guy. Never played it, and you know, like I always tell Tony, I'm as casual gets. But if you start winning and the U.S. starts kicking some ass, that's going to, you know, that's like anything. When you're watching Olympics, you know, you're not, you know, we're not gymnast fans, but if we have, you know, a good gymnastic team that's out there doing their thing or all fencing or whatever it is, swimming.
Yeah. I think that's a good analogy because and speaking as a soccer fan, I think there's going to be a certain class of soccer fan that's going to be like the Olympics. You only watch it once every 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like I only watch swimming once every 4 years. I actually watch gymnastics and ice skating because it's the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
But I just won't watch it any other time. And I get that. But are there going to be more people that are going to seek out, you know, Christian Pulisic? He just scored a goal. He plays for Chelsea. Is that going to make more Chelsea fan? Is Brendan Aaronson, the Medford Messi, going to make more Leeds United fan?
Yeah. I don't know.
Or not.
Yeah, I can tell you once this is over, it's going to be it. And again, it'll just go back to, all right, well, the Premier League is on before.
You know. All right. So basically all these guys that play for the U.S., they go and then go play for these other teams in foreign countries. And we don't have a representation from the U.S. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. Well, no, they'll play like some guys play in the MLS. They're all over. Yeah.
I'm talking not MLS, but
yeah, they play
in
like
Europe. Yeah.
Yeah. In Europe. Yeah.
Every single starter for the U.S. in today's game plays their club soccer in Europe.
Right. So now is it okay? So if all the teams are in Europe now, is there a way that U.S. can be represented in those, or is it that's just not happening?
That doesn't happen. Like they don't play like this is country ball. Then they just go and play. Like they don't. You wouldn't get a whole team. Yeah, they just play for their club team.
Spain, France, England. Yeah, they play their national for the U.S.
Right. So I mean, what I'm trying to get at is
dual nationals that can play for one or the other, and the U.S. does have a number of dual nationals, like Serginho Dest, the right back, was basically born and raised in the Netherlands, but his dad was an American serviceman, and he had the choice of picking what country to play for. He chose the United States, even though, again, he's hardly been to the United States. So.
I mean, I don't know if that answers your question there.
I don't know. I guess what I'm trying to get at is other than right now the World Cup, where we have the U.S. team.
Yep.
Once that's over, do then all these guys just expand to their countries and the U.S. doesn't get represented?
Yeah. No. Yeah, they all go back to their clubs until the next thing. Like sometimes there's like whatever like you said, there was a Gold Cup or whatever.
World Cup qualifying. Yeah, stuff like that. The CONCACAF Gold Club Cup. Yeah. The Olympics.
Is that then every couple years? Because I guess what I'm trying to say is like, who do you know, if me, casual Joe guy, you know, six pack Oz, I'm all into it for the U.S. And, you know, we make a little run. We don't obviously win it, but I'm like, man, this is cool. And now all of a sudden all the guys get disbanded and I'm like, I'm not going to go follow Chelsea or this. You know what I mean? Like,
Think about this. You remember the Dream Team, the 92 Dream Team? Okay. All those guys came from different clubs, right? Michael Jordan from the Bulls. Charles Barkley came from Phoenix. All those guys. They came together to play for the United States in the Olympics. They won the Olympics. After the Olympics was over, they went back to their club team.
Right. I get that. Except but those club teams are readily available in the United States of America, and they're in your city. There's, you know, Philadelphia 76.
But they all play, but most of them play in Europe. But
that's what I mean.
Follow them on TV.
Right. Yeah. But I like I said, as just a regular guy, I'm not going to go, you know, like, okay, Pulisic scored one goal. We got on to the next round. And if we get knocked out, I'm not going to be like, oh man, that one goal by Pulisic, I'm going to follow him for the rest of my life.
Somebody might. It's tough to, like I said, there's tons of leagues and it's tough for the regular guy, casual fan to catch up and like, what the heck, what's going on? It's just,
that's what I mean. If it was like, a US team that I could follow year round, they stick together. Because if, you know, whatever, Chelsea plays for these guys, you know, like who am I going for that's US back that, you know, that's my squad.
Yeah.
Now, if my squad gets disbanded every couple years and then comes back together and it's just like, okay, I'll be happy when the World Cup rolls around and I'll cheer just like the Olympics, but I'm not going to go follow every track and field, you know, event that goes on throughout the years. And I mean, that's just me. I don't know.
Yeah.
But when you've done it and you're into it, there's people that we know that they coach and, you know, that they're all about soccer. And I get that because I'm all about basketball and we're all about football. So everybody to each his own. But I just think for it to catch on, something's got to give. Something's got to change in order to get the casual guy to jump on board other than, hey, you know, USA.
Well, I think that's where the domestic league MLS comes in because you can follow Philadelphia's team.
Right.
Yeah.
Or if you live in LA, you can follow one of the two LA teams. And who knows, maybe one day your team develops a kid from the suburbs, puts them in the academy, and one day they play for the national and they get sold off for millions of dollars and they play every weekend. And well, that's what happened with Brendan Aaronson in the Philadelphia Union. So he grew up in Medford. The Union developed him. He played a couple seasons for the Union. They sold him off, made a bunch of money, and now he's playing for Leeds United. So
Well, it is what it is. Until
okay, that the 70s card show. It's minor league soccer. You know what? MLS is not, it doesn't have to be the best league in the world. Okay. All the other leagues, they have like 100 to 120 year head starts on MLS. It could be a good, I mean, there are 37 MLS players playing in this World Cup, and that's more than any other league outside of the top five European. They're not all playing for the United States and Canada. So it's slowly but surely, it is getting better. Is it going to be the best league in the world? Probably not in my, maybe not even in my lifetime. Yeah. It doesn't have, yeah, I will fight you on this. This is a fight.
Hey, they're getting Messi next year, so you know, you get a little bump.
Messi's coming, and
yeah,
he'll find out it's not a retirement league. So
yeah, as I say, he's doing the farewell tour like Beckham did. But that's all right. But
let's see what else. Any last thoughts?
Real quick, what's up with Ronaldo? Like, is he like not even playing? Like, what? I know he got banned or some.
Yeah, he was having a disagreement with the Manchester United manager.
Mm-hmm.
So he went on Piers Morgan's show and basically talked his way out of a job. So he's basically a free agent after this World Cup.
Right now he's not playing.
He's playing for Portugal.
Okay, so he is playing.
His national team.
I got you.
Club team, he's a free agent.
I got you. Okay, so he's right now he's playing like Portugal. So they want like Portugal won, right?
Pick him up after the World Cup. And the rumor and innuendo is he's going to sign with a Saudi team that's going to pay him $75 million a year.
So, nice. Yeah. Well, cash in while you can, brother.
Yeah,
why not? Right. Any last thoughts? We're coming up on the hour, so.
No, well, just Philly show this weekend. You know, looking forward to that. I'm going to do Hobby Hotline and go jump off of here and go right to the show. So that's the plan.
Yeah, that's right. You're doing Hobby Hotline again. So, in case you don't get enough.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we're on a world tour here, but. Yeah. Other than that, I'll let Oz, you know, do all the plugs and stuff. But hey, Chris, again, fun being on here with you. And
it's great. It's my first time engineering, so
did a great job. You didn't even, you didn't pull the plug. We're still on the air, so we're good.
Hopefully.
All right. So basically, let's wrap it up. You know, Topps 22. Make sure you get your Aaron Judge and your Paul Goldschmidt cards. You know, get some deals at your local LCS. Don't get no F1 cards. that is no longer a thing, I think. Make sure you buy your national tickets early. Get your super VIP. There's only, how many did you say?
1,000 of them.
That's not many.
That 999 now.
Area at the Philly show. Make sure we check it out. Get some good foot traffic going on there. Represent Philly. And then, you know, soccer's taking over as far as I heard. So that's a wrap
US
up of
is
the show.
Good at this sport now.
Did you want to talk about?
I want to bring up one of the early, maybe about 10 or 15 years ago, there was a guy who was active in the YouTube box breaking community named Tom Key, who was known as Tom the Ripper. And he wound up, at the time, he was a student in video production, and he wound up doing some work for Alan Nars, who's the Ripmaster for Topps. He wound up doing some video work for Beckett and Panini. And I guess about 5 or 6 years ago, kind of just fell off the face of the hobby earth, and I didn't know what happened to him. He died over the weekend. He moved back apparently to Colorado and to be closer to his family. And he didn't show up to grandma's house for Thanksgiving, and his sister found him keeled over. So Tom was 44, which is way too young.
Yeah.
Good guy. And I'm going to pour one out for my homie here.
There you go. Pour one out.
Tom, wherever you are, buddy.
Yeah, brother. Salute.
Anyway.
He's somewhere ripping a pack of something.
Yeah. Anyway, be sure to be here on Saturday at 11. I know Tony, you're gonna be here with Dr. Beckett and Danny Buck.
Dr. Beckett and some dude from Baltimore.
Yeah.
Oh, that guy?
Yeah, the Baltimore guy. And then 1 week from today,
he's dead to me.
Michael Moynihan and Rich Klein. So should be pretty good.
He always points out our we're from Reading.
Hobby Hotline, episode number 203. And keep on rocking in the free world. And we'll see you next time.
Go Eagles.
Go Birds.